No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. And all is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, a glorious day that will be. Looking forward to that. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and when he takes me by the hand and leads me to that promised land. What a day, a glorious day that will be. And there'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more burden over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. Day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be. Oh, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and he'll take me by promised land. Oh, what a day, a glorious day that will be. Let's all stand as Brother Terrence comes. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and when he look upon his face, the one to save me by his grace, and he'll take me by the hand and lead me through that promised land. What a day, a glorious day that will be.
Amen. Good morning. Glad to see one with us. Glad to have visitor come in. I'll have to have a long talk with him after we get done, but that's okay. Brother Mark gave me a request. It's Steve V. A close friend of his passed away, and his family and wife is having a hard time, so remember that. Brother Donnie says, still remember Susan. She's still having problems with bronchitis, and Mom is too. She's trying to get over the flu. I mean, not the flu, but the pneumonia, and she's just kind of weak this morning, so remember her also as we pray. The only ones I have, I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling on the highways. Remember Wade and June, the family's traveling, will be traveling today. Let's be with him and be with all the other ones in Sunday school classes. Bless them, the ones that's sick, the passing of the one that Brother Mark had mentioned. Lord, just come down and bless that family. Lord, there's many needs in here, Lord, that we have, unspoken requests, people that are sick. Lord, Brother Gary there, Lord's here today, but he's got a bad cold. And all the kids, Lord, that are sniffling and everything, just bless him. Bless Dad, give him strength this morning, Lord. Lord, to give us also strength that we'll have the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Most of all, Lord, you forgive us for all of our sins. We love you for you many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Believe, only believe, only believe, for all things are possible if you will only believe. must only believe, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. In moments like these, oh, I sing out a song. Yes, I sing out a love song to Jesus. And in moments like these, oh, lift your hands. I lift up my hands. Yes, I lift up my hands to you, Lord. Singing, I love you. Just tell him how much you love him. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, my Lord. Oh, I love you. Let's just sing it once more to him. Oh, in moments like these, I sing out a song. Yes, I sing out a love song to Jesus. Oh, in moments like these, I lift up my hands. Oh, I lift up my hands to the Lord and sing.
Come this morning and lift up the tithes and offering for us. Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen. Let's sing that song on page 205, Near the Cross. No matter what storms may come your way, we're always wanting to be near that cross. Amen. Found at the foot of the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Oh, there a precious fountain and free to in the until my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river and in the cross a trembling soul. Oh, love and mercy found me, and there the bright and morning star, it sheds its beams around me. Oh, in the cross, in the cross, oh, be my glory ever until my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the and near the cross, O Lamb of God, it brings its scenes before me. So help me walk from day to day with its shadow. In the cross, oh, be my glory ever until my raptured soul shall find its rest beyond the cross. I'll watch and I'll wait in hope and trust in ever until I reach that golden strand just beyond the be my glory ever until my raptured soul shall find its rest beyond the
sing that song, that chorus, Isn't He Wonderful, as Brother Donnie gets ready for the responsive reading.
Isn't He Wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Oh, eyes have seen and ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful?
Let's all stand as we sing it once more.
Isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord? Oh, He's wonderful, for eyes have seen and ears have heard what's recorded. Jesus, my Lord, wonderful.
Psalms 68. Give them a second to get it up. It's a pleasure to be in God's house again this morning. It always is. It's the highlight of my day to be able to come and hear the word and fellowship around brothers and sisters of precious and light faith, that we all remember these things and practice them hard every day in our lives as times are drawing near and things seem to jump in our way and always jumping up in the front of us. But sometimes the stand and know is what we need to do as Christians. For me, it's a task out there in the world dealing with things, and it's always something. So thank God for the word that he sent it to heal us and deliver us from our own destruction. And our own destruction is not taking his word and standing on it. So as we pray, dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity to be here today to speak before a wonderful bride and a message that you've sent to us, Father, a pure resurrection message, Lord. Thank you for the word that comes to this little church here, Father, to bless these souls, Lord, that need it and hear it, because the word wouldn't be here if there wasn't somebody to preach it and there wasn't somebody to listen and take it in. Thank you, Father, for that, because I know you sent me here, Lord, for a purpose. And that purpose was to come and hear your word and to find out who I was, and that my heart, those things in my heart, I would know how to use them and what they're for. And Father, I ask today that you forgive us of our sins and bless this little bride church, Lord, and let us not say anything or do anything to harm or hinder anybody. Let us all just love one another, Father God. And when these little creeping things come in, Father, just let them be cast out. As Jesus spoke to the madman out there that came out of the cave and couldn't even keep him bound, first thing he said was, "Why have you come to harm us?" And he just told him to go and jump in the swine. And the swine went and jumped into the ocean and was done away with. Lord, you gave us the power of your word. And Father, we ask today that each one in here today receive a revelation of your word. Most of all, Father, fill our hearts, Lord. We ask these things as we read your word, Father. Now you just come on the scene, Lord, and bless the service this day. We ask it in your special name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's see here. Give me just a second. God, let us arise. Let the enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. But let the righteous be glad, and let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou did march through the wilderness, Selah. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Amen. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Though ye have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, and high hill as the hill of Bashan. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even God of our salvation, Selah. But God shall wound his head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such as one as goeth on steel in his trespass. That thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies, and the tongue of thine dogs in the same. The singers went forth, and players of their own instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. There is little Benjamin with their ruler, the prince of Judah, and their council, the prince of Zebulun, and the princes of Naphtali. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto thee. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. O God, thou art our terrible holy place, the God of Israel that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be the God. You may be seated.
Amen. So many promises in the Word of God that speaks to our heart. Let's, as the Sunday school classes come up, let's turn to page 663. Sing this little song here. Are you happy in the Lord this morning?
Yes.
Man, we come to worship Him, give Him all the honor and glory. Amen.
When pains of death seized o'er my soul, unto the Lord I cried, till Jesus came and made me whole. I would not be denied. Oh, I would not be denied. Oh, I would not be denied. Till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. As Jacob in the days of old, I wrestled with the Lord, an instant with a courage bold, I stood. Standing on his word this morning. Oh, I would. My Lord was gone, and he would not hear my prayer. Oh, but praise the Lord, the work is done, and Christ my Lord is here.
Can't deny us if we're in Christ. Amen. We stand in Him and stand in the Word. Shake one another's hand and let's sing that chorus once more.
I would not be denied. Oh, I would not be denied till Jesus came and made me whole. I would not be denied.
On the scene, all things are made right. Amen. Something good always happens. Let's change the order of the service as Brother Dale comes this morning.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Oh, Jesus, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. You're shining in the light.
See him, don't you? Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. We're glad to have our visitor back there with us. And we always say when you come here one time, you're a visitor. Come two times, you're just part of us. So we don't have anything to join except the body of Christ. So glad to have you. Amen. My wife's still having problems coughing and all with the pneumonia, so keep her in your prayers. The Lord would take that away from her and all, because it just keeps on burdening her and her problems and all like that. Sister Johnny called and said her legs were swelling up, and also remember that to pray that the Lord would take care of those things. She had the veins or something worked on. Remember that. Remember Wade and June and them be coming back in today. Wade's over at Brother Altig's ministering today, and pray that the Lord would bless him and give all of the give them a something to eat too. Bible study will be this coming Saturday. Adults now would be at 6 o'clock. Okay, you got it. This coming Saturday there will be the Bible study. Now the children will be meeting at 2 o'clock. Is that right? I believe that's right. 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock. Okay, we're getting a nod. And they will be having their times together. So remember that. Remember, the fellowship meeting will be at Brother Tony's on the third Saturday of December. Make your plans to attend and all like that. Amen. Galatians 4. We'll try to read the first 7 verses and then get into our thought. Anything else that we've missed? Always. We had a real good time yesterday at the festival time and all like that. And it was really good. It would rain a while and look like it was going to rain, and then it quit, and then it rained and quit, and we were going up and down. We was wondering whether to have the little cookout things, you know, where the kids could do. So we decided not to have that because you get started and it wind up, you know, started raining and all like that. But we had a good time. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I just want to give a clapping hand to all of those that helped to do it. Put on the things and do your games and all for the children. And I know the children, they appreciate that because we had a good time. And that I even got to do the, Nanny couldn't do her part yesterday, so I got to have her part. And we were fishing for little duckies, you know. And I happened to admit, they told me that I couldn't cheat, you know, because I'd always give too many, you know, little cards back to everybody, you know, and all like that. And they said, now, Paw, that's cheating. So, you know, you don't do that. This time we're going to have a coin and a, you know, and everything has to match. So they got that. I still got mine because I'd help them hook those little duckies, you know. Okay. I'm still a kid. That's just the way it goes. Amen. Galatians 4, 1 through 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. In other words, we were lost, needing redemption, right? Okay. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to what? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now we've trying to bring forth, we preached on it last weekend, and trying to talk about adoption. We're in the day and time when that is a big word to be used because there's a lot of it going on, you know. And we found out a lot of things through adoption and stuff like that that really is glorious to help us. And the way the things go on of a natural adoption and all. And we learned off of one thing that was something that, and you know, you may try to disown one of your children, disinherit or whatever you want to do. But if you adopt a child, you cannot disinherit that child. That's the laws. See, because it's the way that they got everything set down and to do, and it's really typing right or going right back into understanding. All right. Now, what we were talking about last week as we were trying to cover the adoption and bringing it forth, that Paul here in Galatians is picking up from the Old Testament the laws of adoption and bringing it forth and showing it and you know, showing us what to expect. All right? See, in the old law of adoption in the Old Testament, they had, there'd be a child born into the family. Well, you know, that child is a member of that family because they're born into the family, all right? You know, and it's part of the family with inheritance, with all the rest and all. But it's not an adopted child because they had to form back there that when they got on up to their time, and I always miss that bar mitzvah, you know, as Wade Crook's correcting me all the time that they try to say those words, that a child, a son back in the Old Testament, when they become to a time of maturity, not necessarily age-wise, but maturity, you know, they were adopted into the family, which put them to the position that they were able to, as we'd call it today, write a check, you know. You give them the authority to do all kind of things, and, you know, and he was placed into the position to be able to run the farm or to do what was needful because he was a son positionally placed in adoption, all right? Then in doing that, it set the stage back there, and I hope you followed my point, and I'll repeat it a couple of times, that remember in the Old Testament now you can only deal with the point that you're brought into the family as a child. You're born into the family. All right. Then you got the second stage, which comes into the stage of the adoption or authority of that child in the family. All right. Now, and then doing that, then, see, it cuts off because there's nothing else to give examples with. You know, you don't have the things that you need to go, but you have enough to type up to that point. So Paul, see, he could take that and he could look back in chapter 3 and 4 there of Galatians, and he could see that a child coming into the family, he even though he's an heir, because he's born into the family. He's an heir. He's a child. He's a member of that family. All right? But yet he doesn't have the authority to do and all is doing, and that's what the father wanted. So when a son was born, the father would, you know, after a while raise it up, you know, they would bring it up. I don't know what age you would start it off, but eventually he would be given a tutor. It's mentioned there in the third and then over into the fourth chapter. A tutor or a governor. Someone to raise that child, to teach that child. And they would take over, you know, and that would be their tutor. You can hire it today. You can, your children can be grades bad and different things. You can hire a tutor to put in the position to try to teach that child, you know, to upgrade it. And see, back then, the father wanted to be able to, his son to come into maturity, so he would hire a tutor. Well, that tutor would be the one that would teach that child. Well, that tutor also had a position to where it would report, that person would report to the father and say, your son is not acting right. Your child is not acting correctly, you know. And then I guess they'd have to decide what took place and the doing, because I've never studied that much of it to see what they do. But I do know one thing. If that child never reached the maturity of the authority, it would remain a child, yes. But it would not have the right of inheritance in the form of the heir as a son, a manifested son or daughter. Now, we only use, Paul and them uses only to the men. So I told you women, now you just hold on. You're in there. It's not leaving you out of it. It's just an example form that it was done for the son in the Old Testament and things like that. It was brought into being. All right. And as it would come forth, that son would take on the nature. Now listen, the son would be trying, the father would want his own nature instilled into his child. But how would that nature become into the child? Through the tutor. So he wouldn't go out and hire the drunk next door to raise his child, you know, or this, that, or the other. He'd go out and get the person that was the closest to his nature, his ways and his doings, to where that he could put that child underneath that tutor or governor, you know, schoolmaster, as Paul calls it there in Galatians. And he would, then that child would come forth. Well, when it would come forth, whose nature would be in the child? You realize then the nature of the tutor would be instilled into the child just as much as the, because that's the only way the nature of the father could get into the child, is to, for that father to, you know, say, okay, now I want him raised this way. Well, all right, and when he would raise him, see, and my point is what it comes forth in the New Testament, and you hear the prophet in a minute to read to say that we had the greatest teacher of all placed on us. We received a new birth by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're born again, right, into the family of God. Right. But then the tutor that is given to us there is the baptism of the Holy Ghost in a higher order or point to be a raiser. And you look at it as the same thing as we've been on the stature of perfect man for so long. See, faith, virtue, knowledge, difference, patience, growing up into his nature. Whose nature? The nature of the Father. God wants his nature instilled into his children. Well, then he picks a tutor that has the closest nature to him, right? And as he would do those things, then who would be actually passing the test? You know, they say that they can go to a college or something like that and they give them a tutor, that they know that tutor so well until they can say, well, we know who taught this child because of the nature and the ways and the things, you know, that are in it. All right, but are you following me now? So there in the Old Testament now, you only had the two examples. You had the example of being a child born into the family. Now that child is, even though he's an heir, but yet the scripture says he's no different than a servant. There in Galatians 3 and 4, he's no different than a servant. Even yet he is heir of all things, see. He has the right there. But yet just because he's born into the family, only placed him in the family. It didn't place him the way the father wants him, so the child would actually just be, he would be an heir. Sure, he would be a child, right. But he wouldn't have the authority. And that's what God wants in the Christian for us to do, is to come forth through him, as I say, in the stature of perfect man, the growth, development, you know, and things in the Christian, to where it would come to be that we would be like the Father. So he would give us the new birth. See? All right? We get the new birth. That brings us into the body of Christ. Correct? That places us in the body of Christ, but then he would give us with that. And the Bible said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost after you believe, not when you believe. So then we don't stop just on that point, but we're trying to bring the point. What? That child, it represents back there, but in the New Testament, he gives us the baptism of the Holy Ghost in a higher order because, see, all of this is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're being born again, as Peter says, you know, by the incorruptible word of God, all right? And as it's doing, then we come to a place of sonship, okay? Because a son back in the Old Testament, he was a son when he's born, okay? When you and I are born again by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, giving us the new birth, we are the children of God. heirs, as we'll cover in a few minutes in Romans. We're all of those things because we are the children of God. Right? But there's more to it than to just stay at that point of a child, you know, coming into the family. Come on in, brother. Welcome. You know, there's more to it than just to say, well, I'm a born-again Christian. You know, because, see, that's where we mess up. We think that we get everything when we first believe it. And that's not what the scripture says. I was quoting her a minute ago. It's after you believe. Amen. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. See? So the scripture lays out to show us that the adoption back there was an example. That child was born into the family, made him a child, made a son, made a child. Are we breaking up?
No.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Now we got it. So we got someone welcome. And we need to get in. I thought we was breaking up because this thing has broke on the bottom. And if I quit in a minute, you'll know it. Either Richard pushed the wrong button or I did one. All right. But now, think about it. See, backing up just a moment to cover where the brother won't be lost in what we're saying, that we are the children of God by the new birth. By that new birth, we are the children of God. Heirs of God, as we'll read in Romans, even joint heirs. What about that? What God would think of his family to make us. His children that would be there. And us Gentiles, we had no right of any form of adoption. The Bible says adoption was for Israel. Because, see, that was the natural story to line up with the natural people. So you got the natural story of Israel and their natural story of adoption. That their son was a son, but then after a while he was given a tutor, and the tutor raised him up to a position, and then once he reached that position to where the father could trust him and everything, then the father would give him his signet, his seal, his approval to use his name or write a check, as we'd call it today, you know, and it would come forth as being into that position, all right? Now, here's the point, trying to put up where we are now. But you only had the two stages there. In the Old Testament, you only had the stage of the son born into the family, and the next stage was the teacher or tutor or coming to authority, because you didn't have anything else to carry on there. But Paul picks it up in Galatians, see, and he advances into the form of bringing it to the New Testament, all right? And as he brings it to the New Testament, then he begins to tell us that there's more to it. There's more to it. See, I'm not throwing no stones now. We good old Baptists, we said we got it all when we believed. Well, I didn't believe it when I was there. I argued with them because I told them, I said, why does it say he that believeth? You know, I was that away then, and that's what I believe. But yet still, see, there's more to the Christian life than to just going to church, being good, you know, and all like that. All that's well and good. All that part is good. That is a nature instilling. That's good. It's wonderful. But that's not all of it. See? He expects us to come to the position of authority, but it's to come to his authority, not ours. It's not for us, see? All right? Salvation is of the Lord, Jonah 2 and 9. See, all right? Now, see, then we come to the position to where that we see these examples are wonderful. But when Paul picks it up in the New Testament, he continues the thought. All right? He continues the thought. See, like we look at the pyramid and we see we're born again at faith. That's in 2 Peter there. See, born again at faith, then we're birthed into these things as God is bringing us forth in the body and teaching us the authority and the position and all like that. But then when it gets to where it says Holy Spirit, see, then there's a place above there called a headstone. Well, that headstone was never brought forward. They rejected the headstone. Jesus Christ was the headstone, but they rejected him. And see, that was not part of that back there. It would have to wait until the end time, as we'll get to it this evening, to where that it would come to having that headstone would come. And see, you can say, well, I've got this and I've got that. All right, there's still more of God. You know that if ever person, I make a carnal illustration, but I like them. If ever person in the world today was born again, it'd be a wonderful world, wouldn't it? But you know, that would just be the starting point. And that wouldn't be all God wants. It's not that he just wants his children born. He wants his children to have his authority, his nature, his ways, their makeup, and to be. He wants that to be in each one of his children, men, women, children, and all. Because that's what God has always desired, for his family to have his ways and nature about him. Like I always say, and I know it's carnal, but I don't want my kids to act like the neighbor, because I don't want to find out they belong to the neighbor. You say, well, that's carnal. Well, that's plain, no. It tells it like it is. I want them to be to where they can have my nature and my ways. We was going around behind home there one day, and the neighbor was there, and we were talking to him about a horse or something. Anyhow, Terrence was talking to him. Well, we get in the car and leave and come back around the house, and Terrence said, Daddy, I'm glad you didn't look like that. What's he talking about? Then I remember the guy had long hair, you know, gridlock long hair hanging down. I said, well, okay. I said, why? He said, because that's the way I'd want to act if that's the way you acted. I said, okay. Maybe I kept him from having long hair, but that's, I'll have to beat the rest of out of him. But, okay. Raising our children. You know, that God, sometimes he has to give us a whipping to bring us into the position to where we're lined up. Okay, but now are you following me? See, then when we get into the New Testament now, we've got to come to a higher order. Because, let's see, how is it that the Bible speaks about the law, that he magnified the law, he made it honorable. It was many things that God done to the law. He didn't just throw it away. All right? And see, that's what God wants with all of us. He wants us to come to a place that he can trust us. That he can put his confidence in us. That he can give us his nature and his ways. That's all that I'm trying to teach on adoption. And you think, well, adoption, that's a deep... No, it ain't a deep thing. It's a simple point. It's simple. It's just becoming more like God and acting like him, all right? And here Paul is covering that, see? That the heir, as long as he's a child, see, born into the family, he's still, everything's not right. See? God wants more of you and me other than to just be the point of trying to get us born again. You know, we say, well, we send out this, we send out, we don't try to have these deep things in the message or something. We try to have it simple. Well, the most simple thing there is a new birth. But you know what? That's the deepest thing there is in the Bible. Because it was God's first doctrine, right? Is that right? The Lord Jesus' first doctrine he preached was you must be born again. And see, the whole Bible is you must be born again. All right, now, are you listening and getting the point? Then the son, when he's a son, it's when he's born. So, bringing that into the New Testament, and we see that when a person is born again, that makes them a child of God, puts them in a wonderful position to be, brings us to a position there to where we can start something. We can start growing. See, the Bible says grow in grace and knowledge. All right? See, then that's where people messed up. People messed up by thinking we get everything when we believe. Are you Pentecostals when they say, well, we speak in tongues, we shouted, we got it all? Well, see, that's just a start. That's my whole point of trying to get you to see it, is your new birth. It just starts your journey because you're born again at faith. All right? Then these things have to grow into us and grow in grace and knowledge and things. All right? And as it comes forth, then, see, we don't stay just a child. I mean, you know, I mean, you got pictures in your billfold or ladies with your pocketbook when your kids was at a certain age, and really you'd have liked for them to stay that way. You know, I used to have them on the wall at the home, and I could go in and say, I wish Wade had stayed that way. Wade, Terrence had stayed that way, and Anna had stayed that way. But, you know, that's well and good. But you know what? That's not the way God wants it. And they wasn't given to us to be that way. Our children were given to us to be raised, to bring in a nature and a way. All right? See, that's where the prophet said people messed up, by thinking they got everything when they believed. All right? See, no, there's a growth development. There's more to it. Why? Because it didn't just stop as to come into a family. It doesn't even just stop as to come into having full authority. But that's what everybody wants, right? Everybody wants authority. Oh, well, we want this, we want that. We want to control that. But see, authority without character is satanic. You take authority and have no character with that? You don't even want them working for you at work. You've got other bosses and things involved. You don't want them people to be there when they want to run everything their way. You didn't hire them for that. They always tried to tell the musicians here, Chet Atkins didn't hire people to play the way they wanted to. He hired them to play the way he wanted them to play. And if they didn't like it, they could get out the door, you know. But maybe God ought to throw us out the door sometimes. But okay, now go on, what? See, the Holy Spirit is our tutor. All right? So when you come into the New Testament now, you're coming into a different position. Because now listen to the point. Even though in the Old Testament you had the son that would be born into the family, even though you would give him a tutor, a person to raise him, that still never gave him a new birth. There was no new birth in the Old Testament. You say, well, now, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. See, Jesus Christ had not died. How could you have the old new birth in the Old Testament when Jesus Christ had not died? He could not come and live in us that way. They had the anointing, yes. They had great things. David could do all of the great things. Those mighty men, all kind of things could take place, yes. But still, they didn't have the new birth. You think David, with all of what he could do, what if he'd had the new birth? You don't ever think, Samson, what he could do, what if he'd had the new birth? Oh, man, he wouldn't worry about taking on 10,000 of them glass and things. He didn't care. All right, but you get the point now, what I'm trying to bring. The Old Testament could type and shadow. Examples. That's what the Old Testament totally is, all the way through, is examples. And then you get over into, where is it, Ezekiel. And you get over into those. You've got examples of coming forth as a new birth position, but it could not come forth. There was no way to bring that new birth until Jesus Christ had died. So as we read there in Galatians, that he was made of a woman, made under the woman, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might be the children of God. But that didn't make them the children of God in the Old Testament. I drive that point hard because you cannot bring those things into understanding. You got to wait until the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes. All right? And as it would come forth into that position, then you can start thinking about things as they begin to grow and what takes place. And then you'll see why the Scripture speaks of the way that it does. See? And why Paul would give the Scripture, go through the heir, as long as he's an heir, he's fine. But he's not positionally placed. So we need to get into the Bible and study it. Not to just read it for something. I came through the Baptist church. I'm not throwing no stones. I came through there. I appreciate all of that, all of those things and times. But I learned from that, that you don't just take the Bible and try to read it for your own concept. You'll mess up every time. You try to put it into the position to where you can have some understanding. And I tried back then to do that because that was my idea. Excuse me for having to put in a cough drop, but that's a whole part of that coughing, you know. Not the grave site, but that coughing. All right. But now listen. As I said, you had the two examples now in the Old Testament, the birth and the authority, but no new birth. All right. But Paul picks it up in the Galatians and begins to speak of something else to come. Peter picks it up in the in 2 Peter, you know, he picks it up. And he begins to speak of something greater than for us to just be, babies. God don't want us to be that and just stay that. He wants us to grow up in him to where he can trust us. Right? You don't put a novice. You ever noticed it? Even to show you one example. You don't have a novice in the Old Testament, in the New Testament writing. Every one of those writers in the New Testament was tutored. Amen. And brought to a position before they were given the right to write what they were to write. That's right. All right? Amen. So then that shows that what's what God wants us to be. All right? But see, Paul went on to pick it up, so we'll try to just get the point to where we're at today. So turn over to Romans. Of course, they can pull it up. And we'll get into Romans. They'll pull it up on the screen. I want you to see from this that there's three stages in this adoption that you deal with instead of just the two. Instead of just getting born, born again or a baby or even the authority, even the position, even God trusting us to be like Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none. We said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Well, they just reached down and get a man. See, they had come to the position that they had the authority with God. Paul could say that you'll be judged by my gospel. Now, what about a man like that? You realize we're going to be judged by his gospel? You realize the world's going to be judged by the gospel of the Apostle Paul? That's what he said. And he said, if anybody comes and brings anything, Galatians 1:8, is that right? If he comes and brings anything contrary to what I brought, said, let him be accursed. Now, that's something, isn't it? What about a man with that kind of authority? That when he spoke it, God honored it and brought it to pass. All right. But now let's get into this, and we'll just pick our thought up from this to try to cover three stages of adoption. All right. Instead of just two. Instead of just of a two-stage to where you birth and then position, we're going to get into another stage that's going to cover a real good point that'll show us right where everything is at. So look at the scripture there now. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's wonderful, isn't it? If you're a child of God, you're led by the Spirit of God, you have the Holy Spirit, the new birth that you've received. And watch what he says. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit of adoption. All right? See, not all together in one, but you're going to have to have a place to start. Your new birth is where you start your adoption. Right? Same as the Old Testament, the child born into the family. In the New Testament, the child born into the family by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's where you start your journey. That gives you the spirit of adoption, or the Holy Spirit of adoption. It gives you that to where that you can have a lot of things. And now watch what he says. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. Now, how long could we stay on talking about the Holy Spirit bearing witness in you? You ever had him to do that? You ever had him to tell you something before it took place? You ever had him to direct you into something or tell you to go a different way than what you went? You're going down the highway, you know, and you turn to go the other way, come find out, and you get home, and they had all kind of wrecks over on that road. See, that's that Spirit of God directing you through your life to direct us and tutor us and carry us on to bringing us to the right place, right? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. The Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit if you really got the Holy Spirit. That spirit within you, and that ain't just your natural see, taste, feel, smell, and hear type of form or memory. It's the deeper meaning of the Holy Spirit coming to each one of us in our lives to guide us and to keep us into all of it. See? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, back to where we were in the message a moment ago. You want your children to act like you. You know, that's what God wants. God wants his children to act like him. Right? That's the very purpose. That way we can know by the Spirit that's dealing with us whether we're the children of God or not. If we live like the devil, whose children are we? If we act like the devil, we must be the child of the devil. That's why I love what is in Galatians 5, where it talks about the, one of them says the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, and all like that. But the other one says the works of the flesh. There's a lot of difference in the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruits of the Holy Spirit, but it's works of natural flesh that doesn't work too good. Okay, now listen. Now, and if children, watch how Paul, he begins to coming forth to cover toward the nature part of God to be instilled into us to bring us to what God wants. And says, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. Well, wait a minute. I never read that. Well, read it and see. What about to be an heir of God? Right? Because that new birth, the new birth makes you an heir of God. And it even makes you heirs of God and join heirs with Christ. Now, here's one that's hard for us to swallow sometimes. To think that God wants his children to be so much like him, and he makes them joint heirs. You're heirs of God because you receive eternal life. God alone gives eternal life. Right? And as he gives us eternal life, that makes us joint heirs with Christ. Not that Christ is another person. We don't believe in Trinitarianism. We're not that. We believe in one true and living God. Amen. Almighty God, see, gave us his nature. When it does, it's the only reasons you cover it with Christ is the point to where Christ is that anointing or the anointed that comes within you to live in you. All right? So look, and if children, if we're the children of God, look what we have. Huh? We're heirs. Now, if we run everything correctly, you know, I'm 79 years old, we're running things correctly. A few years from now, I kind of pass on. Well, if my family is my family and I love all of them equally, then it will be divided equally what I have. Why? Because they'll be heirs. By being born into the family, we'll make them heirs. All right? But what about being born into the family of God to make you heir of God or with God? Amen. It makes you joint heirs. Joint heirs means it's the same. Right? Plain language, right? It's the same. What about all born-again Christians are the same? Now, all true born-again Christians are the same. Why? Because they have the same God living within them. And they're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Watch. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. All right, now that's the point. We like the other. We want the heirs. We want everything he's got. We want to be healed. We want to be delivered. We want to do it. But we don't want the afflictions and things that goes with being a Christian. Right? Ain't none of you want to be sick, right? No, we want to be delivered. We want to be well. All right, come on, just a little point. Listen, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. All right? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The little minor afflictions that we, you know, I'm so down and out, and I'm so this, and I'm, being sick is being sick, right? But see, you can take my wife for an example. She's at home today because she has pneumonia. But now you tell me how many times she's ever missed services before. See, we come to church if we're sick. I thought that was the place we're supposed to be. I didn't know we're supposed to go to the hospital. Now, don't misunderstand me. We go to the hospital. We believe in doctors. We do medicine and everything, right? So don't misunderstand my language. Just get what I'm saying. If you're sick, where do you go? I went by my mother one day, and she said, where are you headed? I said, I'm headed to the church with the kids. They're sick. Well, ain't you going to the doctor? I said, we'll take care of that second. We're going to the church to be prayed for. Well, a lot of times we went to church, got prayed for, and didn't have to go to the doctor. Right? See, it's because it's what we believe in. Okay, now, listen. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, what about now if you're joint heirs, remember, whatever he has, you have. But he suffered for you and I. He suffered for you and I. What's the problem with suffering a little bit for him? You know? I ain't saying we got to be sick to glorify God. No, no, no. You are going to be sick. Just get that into your mind. Well, now you're making that set in my mind that I'm going to be sick. No, I'm just telling it like it is. You're going to be sick eventually somewhere down the road. But we don't have to go down the road looking for sickness. Right? We believe in being protected, but I ain't standing out here in front of the train. See, we don't go in those lines. Listen. Look, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The earnest expectation of the creation. That's what that word is. Creature. Creation. You realize the world is groaning. You realize the animals out there are being run over, like I said, you know, train come down the road or a deer runs across the highway or something, and they're being killed. They're suffering. They're groaning, wanting to be delivered. And they're saying, how can it be done? You say, well, they can't talk. He can communicate pretty good with them. I've seen deer do amazing things. I've seen deer walk down in through the woods and starting to look at me and me sitting completely covered in everything in the book and look at me and like wave, hey, I see you sitting up there. Something took care of them.
Right.
All right. But look, what is the creature or creation waiting for? Okay, now, back up. Where was that? What stage one adoption? Born into the family. The Old Testament people had that. Second stage, authority, right? Now, what's the third? See, we're picking up to another stage now. We're in the Scripture picking up to another stage. What is that stage? That the creature is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject or put under death and dying and all the living and things like that. See, he was made subject to vanity, not willingly, see, not of his own self, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. But the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. I love to hunt. I love to see the animals and watch them. And I was sitting watching a squirrel one day, and he jumped on this big old tree beside of me, and he went up that tree. And he went a good 50 feet out up that tree. And all at once, he just sprung off, and he went, and about 10 foot off the ground, there was a limb sticking out. And he goes, plunk, plunk, and just walks down off of that. I cried. I sat there and cried. I said, God, could I trust you enough to jump out of the top of that 50-foot tree? See there? One day they'll be delivered. There won't be no more hunting in the millennium. There won't be no killings and doing. It'll be a wonderful thing to where death will be taken away. But the point I'm getting at is what? What's going to cause that? It tells you in plain language. The creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Right. Waiting for, back up above there a few verses, for what? The manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Children with authority. Sons and daughters, join heirs with Jesus Christ and give an authority to speak it. Speak a storm out of existence. Or speak and it rain. Speak and all kind of things take place. You have never seen those things like that? Speak and the dead raise. You haven't been in that place? Well, you've heard the story here how on two different occasions the same man, God raised him up from the dead because of our very word calling his name. That wasn't me. That didn't have nothing to do with me. That had to do with that point back over there, the joint heirs. Back up to where the joint heirs is in there. If we have anything whatsoever, he give it to us. See, if there's going to be anything in our life worth anything, it's worth it. Okay. Waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. The making known. Roll that back down a little bit where we can pick up the where it says, there you go. See, if you look that up, that word manifestation, it literally means a making known. You know, or declaring. Bringing out into the open, revealing, showing, or delivering. See, the whole creation, everything is waiting for the manifestation of sons. I say and daughters because that's not adding to the scripture of God. All right? But we don't believe that the women don't have no authority. That's where you see you're just as wrong as to take the other side. All right, listen. But waiting for something to happen. Waiting for God to be able to live among his people and to share his word. Isn't that the most marvelous thing? That God would want to share his nature, his being, his part, but he wants us to be part of him in the word. Amen. To be in us. Right. To come on down. Look, see, there's your second stage of manifestation of the sons of God. All right. Stage one is the new birth. Stage two is manifestation of sons and daughters of God. All right. Now, there's another stage here. See? That if we look at it correctly, we can see where we're at. Because that's where we'll be picking up the scene. Remember my thought? Remember the point that I told you last Sunday. We're going to not be looking backward, because that's the problem with us. We're not going to be looking forward, because that's our problem. We're going to try to be realizing where we are right here now, because it's fine to see tomorrow, but we're not there. It's great what has happened in the past. Wonderful opportunity to receive those things. But yet we're not there. Where are we at? We're right here now.
Amen. That's right.
Right? We're right here now. You start trying to call on a God that was back there. Come on. Or a God that was will be over there. He doesn't have to answer us. But if you can make it present tense, God is a spirit, not was. Whatever he is, he still is. Whatever he was anywhere, because that's what I like about the reason we don't want to look back and look forward, because we're constantly moving. Science is constantly moving. I was reading it yesterday where they've got some kind of a thing. They said after all these years with atomic energies and things like that, there was one little thing that they can't figure out. They're working on it. But you just think in the age where we're at of all this stuff that we've got and all the things that are taking place. But they admit they got one little thing that they can't answer. We'll get to that this evening. There's a mystery. See, the children of God has that little part already figured out, because that's where we're going to. You say, well, we've got it figured out. Yeah, if science would just listen to us. But you think they are? No. But listen. The world's waiting on the manifestation of sons and daughters of God. Amen. All right, now we take on it. We keep going. Now we're going to another stage. Watch. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Those animals one day are going to be delivered to where that they will be with us. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Everything, all of the 6,000 years of mankind, it's groaning and travailing, waiting for something. The Bible says in Hebrews there, 11:40, they without us cannot be made perfect. So they're waiting on us. You realize everything is waiting? Now let me say it as to the point of what we believe, because we believe God sent a prophet, and there was a time that He turned around and spoke to these hornets, and they went back in their nest. He seen a time that this bull was going to come forth and kill him. He told it to go lay down. It wouldn't lay down. You know what? Nature saw its master just for a moment. But that's not all of it. That's got to be for us. Right? That's got to be for us. Now, come on, listen. And we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they. Now look at the great apostle Paul. Not only nature, not only all the others, look at himself. Not only they, but ourselves also.
Right.
The great man, the great apostle Paul, is waiting on something. He's waiting on something to take place. Right? Look. And not only they, but ourselves also. Which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Right back to where we started.
Right.
Baby born into the family, coming in. Okay. All right. Even we ourselves grown within ourselves. What about the great man that he was? The Apostle Paul. But yet he was waiting on something.
Right.
You know he's in the grave right now. The Apostle Paul's in the grave right now. Right.
Right.
What's he waiting on? Me and you.
That's right.
Right? What else would he be waiting on? If we are to be the sons and daughters of the living God, if we're to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if we're to have the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God among us, then who's Paul waiting on?
Right.
He's waiting on us to call for it.
That's right. Amen.
Right? Add that little point. Paul's waiting on us to call for it. For what? We ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body.
Right.
All right, now you can use that word wit as to witness, and that's good. To witness, but what are you to witness? What is this to happen? Waiting for the adoption to witness the redemption of our body. I like to use it like this, to wit, to understand. I'm saying the same thing now, just to me it just picks it up into a higher order. But to wit means to understand.
Right.
What is it? We're groaning within ourselves. We right now, we're groaning, crying out, dying with all kinds of sicknesses and heartaches and problems, right? Waiting, groaning within ourselves. Waiting for the adoption. What is the adoption? The redemption of our body.
Right?
Come on, read it. You say, yeah, but it comes in and out. No, just read it like that. Waiting the adoption, the redemption of our body. Well, my body's already redeemed. No, it's just in the process. It was redeemed, right? And the day you got born again, God laid a claim on that body that you're living in.
Right.
He laid a claim on that to say, that's mine.
Right?
Right? But see, there's still problems. We're still dying.
Right.
Right? But waiting the adoption to witness or to understand the redemption of our body. What about it? Waiting on the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God to come forth. Right? Well, let me give you a couple of... That adoption is a great big old long word about that long. But I'm writing or taking out of Scofield Bible to just show you how this lines up, and then I'll give you the other. I gave it to you the other day. But he says adoption, placing as a son, is not so much a word of relationship as of position.
Right.
Scofield knew that because he could read it. Okay? He said the believer's relation to God as a child results from the new birth. Where he is now, the very act of God whereby one already is a child, or is a new birth, and through though redemption from the law, he's placed in the position of an adult son. He's brought up. The Spirit giving the realization in the believer's present experience to full manifestation of the believer's sonship. Now listen. Awaiting the resurrection. See, what are we waiting on? The resurrection. What we're waiting on? The change of these bodies. What are we waiting on? The translation of these bodies. See, those people knew that. Now let me give you, I love these. I have a Bible that I read a lot out of, and it's got 26 translations, and I like to use it sometime. And out of one writer says it this way: longing for the adoption that shall ransom our body from its bondage. That's one of your writers. That's the early Jabins. It's the Epistle of Paul. Another writer, the 20th century New Testament. Awaiting our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. See, those writers knew that. That's translation. I'm bringing that from their translations of what you're saying. Well, that's another Bible or whatever. All right? eagerly, one of them says eagerly awaiting. We're eagerly awaiting our adoption, the resurrection. The redemption of these bodies, eagerly awaiting it. Right? See, those writers knew what they were bringing it out from. As we wait for full sonship in the redemption of our bodies. Full sonship. What is full sonship? You know, well, I was a son when I was born again. Right. Then there's a growth development, part of that, right? Now a redemption of this body. Because my Bible says we'll have a body like unto his glorious body. Amen. See? Sonship deals with the three stages of adoption. Right. Birth, sonship in manifestation, and now covering it into the resurrection and the change. See? That's why I told you a long time ago, hey, I quit looking for the coming of the Lord a long time ago. Because I found out by reading the Bible that the dead in Christ is going to rise first. So I need to look for the resurrection. Now, when the resurrection takes place, then the rest is going to take place. The dead in Christ is going to rise. And then we which are alive and remain are going to be changed. See, we move into the change in the body. Berkeley says it like this. As we await that rite of sonship that involves our bodily redemption. Phillips of the New Testament translation says, which we wait for the redemption of our bodies, which well means that that at last we have realized sonship in him. Now that's the scripture that you're reading of Romans where it says Romans 8:23. Brought from other translations to show you they were all looking for sonship. Our sonship is dealing with our redemption of these bodies. Until these bodies are fully redeemed, it's not worth anything. Waiting for the adoption. Everything is groaning. The trees are struggling. Everything is taking place. Waiting for the redemption of our bodies. I'm reading you just some quotes. All these years until now. Now listen to him, the prophet saying it. Now we have the earnest of our inheritance. Now we have the earnest of our inheritance. All these years, something's been waiting. You know what was waiting on? Malachi 4. Well, we know that. That's easy, isn't it? But what's Malachi 4? Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. He'll turn the hearts of the children back in time. See, that has to take place before you can talk about redemption of these bodies. We're just dying. We're going by the grave. But God promised us that he would send us the voice of Elijah to turn our hearts back. To bring forth the message that would bring the redemption. See? We are waiting for the fullness of adoption. That will take place when? At the first resurrection. Right? Salvation fully in the fullness of sonship. See, the Old Testament only typed it. It's what I kept trying to lay that down. Now this evening we'll pick it up and we'll try to bring it on over into the dispensation of adoption. See, there's got to be a dispensation or we can't fit in. All right. Where's that dispensation? What is it? The whole world is waiting on the manifestation of sons and daughters of God. We got that. We understand that. We understand that God sent a prophet in the last day to bring us the message. All right? We've got that. But he's waiting. God's waiting on you and I. Adoption time. When he can pour his fullness into us and the things that we have need of. Well, I just don't see it. Does that mean it's not there? Where would you be in the old days? Where would you be, you know, in the Bible times and times with Jesus? Well, I just don't see it. Is that going to change it? Is that going to make it not true? No, somebody's going to see it and they're going to realize it. But you're going to have to realize it in yourself to start with, or you're going to not have anywhere else to realize. All right? The world is waiting on the sons and daughters of God to come into full maturity, stature of a perfect man. That's why I've been through these things with you, showing you what we have need of. Having a new birth is wonderful. But manifestation of sons and daughters are making known of the sons and daughters of God. Amen. What's going to be the greatest making known? The day somebody steps through death. Right? Somebody's going to step through death and say, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? Just brush it off and walk right on through. There won't be nothing there then to say, well, I just don't believe that took place. What about it? Come on, musician, what about it? Can you see my point? The Old Testament, let me review it one time where you'll make sure and see it. I know I say a lot of things and then you get tired up wondering, well, wait a minute. He said, in the Old Testament, you could only have the example of a son being born into the family. Then it could move into the second stage to where that it could be authority that the son could come forth and act like his father. But that was only types and shadows. But when Paul picks it up in Galatians and Romans, Peter in 2 Peter, he's explaining what is taking place. The headstone has not come yet. Is that the words of the prophet? You know what the headstone is? Revealed word. That means there's something about the word that we need to realize what took place. Well, I've done told you what I'm doing. I've done this and stood on it from the very beginning. When those seals broke to the prophet, he saw redemption. When we see it by revelation, we'll see redemption. Well, we don't get it reading Greer's Almanac. You know what I'm saying? You don't get it that way. You get it by going into the Word of God and searching it out. And crying out to God to reveal it. What went wrong with our thinking? Why are we not eager to serve God? Go ahead, brother. Let's stand. I hope you'll just take what we've said and consider it. Consider the point that there's three stages then. So the New Testament added another stage to your redemption. A change of the body. These old bodies are going to be changed. They're going to be redeemed. They're going to be resurrected. They're going to be changed in a moment, a twinkle of an eye. What about it? Can we get it to be present tense? No, we want to stay back there. Why? I want to be here. I don't want to be back there. I want to be here. But I don't want to be over there either. I want to realize what's taking place right now. That's the only way I'll ever get over there. You'll never get over there without knowing where you are here. What about it? Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's blood in the rock. doors open. Pray unto God the Father. Everything right. We believe you in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? You believe it? I believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what? Being the same yesterday, today, and forever puts everything present tense. Right where we at. What a day. What a time. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. Just shake hands with one another as you leave. Remember the service this afternoon? Remember Wade and them coming home and all of the thing? And pray that the Lord would bless. Amen. You're dismissed. Father, we just ask you to be with each one as we go our separate ways for a few minutes and come back in you. Guide us in Jesus' name. You're dismissed. To cover.